views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hi, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. This is Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
And we are excited to be on the show today. We're going to be discussing art therapy with Stephanie Condra. And we're really excited about this because at Spirit Fire Retreat Center, we just opened up a new art barn. And so the new year holds a lot of creative projects for us that we just can't wait to get started. But what we thought first we should do is kind of discuss the step that is about mind and how it relates to art therapy.
Indeed. So at the practice of living awareness, we are on step 9, which is mind. And that is a really pivotal step within the practice. Anybody who's been joining us along knows that our show sort of goes along with the practice. And each week we go over a different step of the practice and invite someone on the show whose life or their career, their interests, their passions reflects the qualities of that step. And within the practice, we're on step 9, which is mind, which is a really pivotal step, as I said. It's kind of like we're cooking with gas now, because at the end of the day, meditation is really about exploring the mind. So anybody that wants to listen to the meditations this week would really enjoy them. Donna Mitchell-Moniak, who's been leading the meditations all week, has been talking quite a bit about the qualities of mind, these three qualities in particular that the mind can really be divided into, and those are the contracted mind, the expansive mind, and the empty mind. So essentially she says that the mind is always doing one of these things, if not bits and parts of all of them at one time. So I'd just like to go over those quickly. So with the contracted mind, we are experiencing sort of an exacting or a limiting focusing or a tight mind, like an analytical mind that's very detail-oriented. And certainly what we use when we're sort of problem-solving, when we're very focused on the particulars of any thought process or situation. And then there's the expansive mind, and that would be experienced as wide open, as sort of loose and wide, connecting and appreciating, contemplating. So that's kind of the big picture orientation. Then there's the empty mind, and that's sort of just caught in the flow. That would be the mind that's empty of any kind of concept or construct. So I sort of like to think of it as if we're watching traffic go by. The contracted mind would be really looking at each car that goes by. Oh, that's a Ford. Oh, that's a car I had when I was a kid. Oh, I'd love to have that car. Or the expansive mind would just be noticing the flow of traffic, noticing that cars are moving at a certain speed, just understanding what flow is, the relationship of the cars to the background. It's more open. And then an empty mind would really just be experiencing oneself in relation to all that is, and the traffic going by, the clouds going by, the ground underneath you would all be part of one large continuous experience. So interestingly enough, all of these are creative. All of these have a sense of clarity to them. So in thinking of the mind, or in talking about the mind, or presenting it on the show, we thought it would be so wonderful to talk about art. When we are creative, as we are always creating our life, creating situations, creating relationships, as we are actually creative in a sort of tangible way, we can notice quite a bit about ourselves, about these qualities of mind. And so art therapy is one way to sort of learn a lot about ourselves and learn a bit about what's happening in the mind. So enter the lovely Stephanie Condra, who is in the healthcare system and works with patients through art. And we are so excited to have her on. Let's introduce her. Stephanie Condra, welcome.
Thank you so much, Steve and Tim. I'm smiling quite broadly over here. Very pleased to be part of your radio program this morning.
Wonderful. Well, you know, how did all that jive with you? What, you know, what do you think about these three states of mind? Did that all sound pretty true, that we experience that and that the people you work with are experiencing those sort of qualities of mind?
Yeah, absolutely. I see so many parallels in what you guys are talking about in the meditation process with Spirit Fire, and then the work that I do, which I find really beautiful. I know, you know, one of the things that I'm thinking about with the contracted mind is some of those maybe getting stuck patterns that we see sometimes. I should probably preface by saying I work in an inpatient behavioral health unit at a hospital on Long Island called Brookhaven Memorial Hospital Medical Center. So I'm working essentially in inpatient psych. So I see a number of individuals going through a number of, you know, more crisis states and where they're really stuck in something. So that contracted mind, you know, is something that we're kind of tossing around as being in one of those maybe more stuck states and more limited. And the idea that I'm always working with is that the stuck state is something that was what we might call a defense, more kind of psychoanalytically, which is part of my training in art therapy. A stuck defense is there. The defense is there to really serve the ego so that we can keep on functioning. We're doing what we need to do to get through a tough situation, but then it just gets a little too calcified. And that.
Oh, if I could just interrupt for 1 second, I just wanted to add that, you know, we've all sort of experienced that where, say, we've had some kind of conflict or we've experienced a contrast in our lives and perhaps sort of that a thought about that gets stuck and we just repeat it on a loop again and again and again, where we can only focus on the detail and we can't see ourselves in the bigger picture of it all, is what I presume why I can hear that you're talking about indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like, we find, well, it worked for me in this scenario, or I needed to do this to really keep myself safe in this scenario, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And then we get sometimes really restricted. You know, and the piece that I love so much about art therapy or creative arts therapy, as they kind of call it in New York State with their licensing system, which I'm really into lately, I'm really into that creative part, is that if we stay kind of open to all of the possibilities and all of the solutions, which I think is maybe more of that expansive mind, then we find there are many other ways to do this thing and I don't have to feel so stuck and constricted. And just starting to really notice very mindfully, which of course is what we're kind of really talking about. And that's coming more and more into, you know, psychotherapy as people are practicing it, as practitioners are really working with it. But if we're staying mindful of what we're doing and how that's feeling stuck, then we start to get more space and start to play with the possibilities. And that all of that is a creative process. And so what...
And isn't... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was just going to say that isn't actually experience and noticing, you know, that's when we take a great leap, when we're actually just not stuck in thinking about it, but we learn to embody it as a way of noticing, of observing ourselves within that situation. So I love that about meditation, is we start to really notice the usually not noticed. We say that all in the practice, and that's so liberating because actually it gives us a little bit of control, huh? It's like we actually can feel what that means to experience something.
Yeah, instead of just maybe acting it out with kind of unconsciously and thinking this is the way it has to be, because it is the schema, it's the way it's always been. And so I'm kind of going to make the next leap, and you just let me know if you want to come back around to anything else. But you know, the way that then I'm practicing with art, and I do a lot of, you know, kind of talk therapy, but it's always through this creative, you know, frame, is when we're making art, or we're making movement or we're making sound, which I bring a little bit into, but when we're making visual art, we're playing with those possibilities in symbol, and we're actually in the process figuring out what it's like to do something totally new. You know, a lot of people aren't so familiar with making art. They've probably stopped at some point, maybe around middle school, or if they're making, you know, one kind of art, try making something else that you're not so familiar with and feel out in that process, you know, again, very mindfully what it's like to do this totally new thing and start getting one of my favorite terms that I picked up in my graduate school training is, you know, get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that's when we're really going into something new. But change is very hard. And so it's...
Yes. Hey, listen, we're just going to, we're just going to jump to a break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I can't wait to come back and talk about that change and art and expressing oneself. It's going to be great. So we're going to go to a break and we'll be right back with Stephanie Condren.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic disease. It's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to thread your life with intuition? Intuit Apparel can help you do just that. This is not just about a piece of clothing. This is about a movement, an awakening, and staying centered in life. Your life. Intuitive and host of the radio show Get Into It, Lynn Brown, was given this image with the intention of a clothing line designed to represent the essence of life itself. Visit intuitapparel.com now and wear your intuition with
pride. Tune in to the Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
1230 WBLQ.
Do.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. We're talking today with Stephanie Condra about art therapy.
Yes, it's a great conversation so far. And I keep hearing the relationship between meditation and art making. And it's that, you know, we are constantly creating in our lives. And meditation is a way to sort of notice the details of that creation and the qualities that are involved within that creation. We're basically dealing with mind. We are mental creatures. So really, self-observation is what sets us apart from all the other kingdoms. And as human beings, the ability to take a look at oneself is really can be so joyful, can be sometimes a little alarming. But when we're making art, we are really noticing what's going on with our mind, what's going on with ourselves as we actually look at what we've created, perhaps on a canvas or on a piece of paper. We actually get a lot of information. So I can see how working with art therapy would be so revealing. So Stephanie, tell us, how did you get involved with art therapy?
I will say it was really something that I always was very interested in since truly my adolescence. I think when I was around 14 or 15, it kind of came to me. I was fortunate enough to actually have a friend's parents who were psychoanalysts say, you know, I think this is something that you might want to look into. I was always very interested in art. It always resonated with me, even just encountering other people's art. I was very interested in the human psyche. And in psychology and what made us tick and what made us do the things that we do and what made us feel the way that we feel. And I was very interested in service. And I knew that that was something that I personally needed actually to feel well within myself and motivated and inspired me. So from that time on, that was kind of, you know, where I focused. I think I don't know that every art therapist might say, yes, this is exactly what I wanted to do since this was my dream. But it was, in fact, mine. And I started working when I was young, when I was a teenager, in the nonprofit world, painting murals in hospitals and medical facilities as, you know, sort of a way in. It's a different way of using art with sort of a therapeutic goal in mind. And I proceeded into my undergraduate studies at New York University. They have a sub-school called Gallatin School for Individualized Study. I created my own major, essentially my own concentration, which I called Therapeutic Art and Alternative Methods of Healing. And my goal was to do sort of all of my prerequisites for art therapy in a graduate program, because that's what you need to do in order to be an art therapist in the United States. And there I kind of continued to expand. I worked with some wonderful instructors, professors, one of which, Steve, I know you know, Robin Powell, and kind of just kept broadening into, you know, where is this with energy? Where is this with meditation? Where is this with the body? I became really interested in one of my favorite theorists, Carl Jung, and, you know, what symbolism means, how we really connect to each other in all of our humanity in a larger fabric through that. And, you know, felt so grateful to have those experiences and that real expansiveness of my own mind. And continued to work within the nonprofit after that. And a few years later, proceeded into my graduate studies. I went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. I believe it's the oldest art therapy graduate program in the country. And it's a very psychoanalytically based training. And you kind of really, you're really working with the human psyche. You're working very practically throughout the entire program through internship and practicum experience. And then you kind of figure out how you're bringing in the art and the creativity through that. We do a little bit, we do a lot of experientials. We go through the psychological properties that some of the art materials might bring and open up for people. And then, you know, I've transitioned into my professional practice. I'm going through our New York State licensing process here to become a creative arts therapist. So I have a limited permit in that right now. And as I said, I work in inpatient behavioral health at Brookhaven Memorial Hospital Medical Center out on Long Island, and also do some consulting as doing what I call creative expression at Stony Brook University Medical Center, Stony Brook Medicine, in their inpatient bone marrow transplant unit, and their oncology unit through their cancer center. So I'm doing both really psych and medical, and have had a smattering of many other experiences working with at-risk populations inner city during my grad school years and beyond, doing some domestic violence work, and as well as working with children. And I'm really interested in community art, how we come together. You know, I was thinking this through some of that expansive stuff and kind of bringing people together, doing muraling. We work a lot in groups and group process as art therapists. And that can really be something. And I think that really opens up so much flexibility and so much creativity. And it's really something that I embrace very fully in my work day to day on the inpatient behavioral health unit. We're structured to do groups, but I really find there's so much there.
I'm curious, Stephanie, as you talk about the mental health care system, would art therapy be considered alternative these days, or is it more mainstream? Do we find that across the board, not only in sort of behavioral, but also, as you said, patients? I know you said you've worked with patients with cancer. Is that considered alternative these days, or not so much?
You know, I don't think that they use the word alternative. I probably should have, you know, looked this up a little before we spoke, but I had guest lectured in a nursing class in one of, you know, our local community colleges out here a year ago. And I believe that the phrasing that they use was complementary.
Okay, yes.
I think we often talk about it being adjunctive. I'm part of a treatment team. You know, there's the treating psychiatrists and the social workers. But I actually feel very fortunate. I get to be the one in there with the patients throughout the day, creating these spaces, whether in talk or in art, or sometimes even, you know, in leisure and how we're creative within that as coping, and really be in the process and working with and kind of remolding, almost like, you know, clay, our thoughts, our thinking patterns, the way that our parts are situated and formed. What's going on with our feelings? What are we thinking? How do we think about our thoughts? How do we think about our feelings? And it's such a profound privilege, you know, every day.
Surely. Well, actually, what is our experience of our thoughts, and what are the qualities of our thoughts? And I only ask that question about it being alternative or sort of adjunct, you know, as you say, because we even see art classes in schools. I think we saw them dipping and sort of going out of public schools. But I think that there's a resurgence. I think we're starting to see, you know, this sort of round table education and sort of this need to be creative and expressive coming back, because when it's gone and missing, we realize that there's something huge missing about that sort of creative and co-creative, and that connection, you know, that connection that we all feel when we realize that we are a part of a bigger psyche. And that you mentioned Jung, and we've talked about it just personally, and me saying, tell me a bit about this Jung. Well, it's because there are archetypes that we all can relate to, we can connect to, and through art, certainly we realize that we are a part of something very big, and we are all very connected. So as you say, it is a privilege, and we're thankful that there are people like you out there that can create that space where one can feel they can express. And I would love to talk with you a little bit further about the ways, what you actually experience in the room with not just one-on-one, but with group, because I can imagine in a group that much comes out, and there's sort of a liberation that happens when everybody gets to express and see that, well, we all have challenges. We all need to express. We all need to connect in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, indeed, as you say, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off over here a bit.
Oh, no, just give us a little good, quick, you know, we're going to be at a half hour break in just a few minutes. So give us a little intro and then we'll go to a break and we'll come back.
Sure. I'm going to pick up on this thread of you saying, you know, we all kind of realize that we have these same experiences and, you know, we call that resonance. It's, you know, some group theory kind of thrown in there, but this resonance, yeah, we are all human and this is what we do. And sometimes in a session, you do see, you know, this similar images coming up for people. And it's so interesting where I work, there's such a broad range of issues that may be bringing people in or issues that are coming out through their behaviors or thoughts or feelings. But
cool.
So, often the same.
Stephanie, let's go to a quick break and let's continue with that conversation as soon as we come back. All right.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Wondering how to play the game of life and actually win? Stop wondering and start winning the game of life with the unique, incomparable Lynn Brown. Lynn's powerful, transferable tools stem from her success in the very competitive world of sports and business.
Since Lynn was one of the top athletes in the United States, she understands really well about the athlete's mind, their challenges, and what athletes need. I have confidence to ask Lynn to take care of my professional team just because of Lynn, her passion, and the power she has.
Lynn is passionate about working with kids and with athletes. Her life is a testament to the incredible power of intention to create miracles. Lynn is dedicated to assisting and inspiring leaders with the vision and tools to realize their dreams.
And she wants to help you next. Enhance your overall performance and the ability to reach your goals. Bring your game face on. Visit letter R, letter U, Intuit.com or call 844 letter B, Intuit.
Are you seeking a more deeply connected and fulfilling life? Do you often find yourself feeling overwhelmed, overworked, or exhausted? Are you ready to embrace a life filled with more love, connection, and joy? Best of the Month list and 5-star rated on Amazon, Conscious Being by author TJ Woodward will awaken you to your true nature. To learn more about how to get your copy of Conscious Being, visit consciousbeingbook.com today.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Thank you, Brian, for that excellent choice in music.
Thank you, Tim.
Your picture. Lovely. So we went to a break very abruptly. I'm sorry, that was me. Stephanie was right in the middle of talking to us about the ways that art connects us. And we were talking a bit about archetypes. And I know I'm personally excited to hear about what sort of an art therapy session might look like. I think I would enjoy being in an art therapy session personally. Yeah. But Stephanie, so where you could pick up it, where we left off in the conversation, I'd love it.
Sure. You know, I think we were just on this piece of that resonance within groups, which I think is so important, in which I keep working with within our own group art therapy sessions right now in the work that I'm doing. And I think, you know, at the heart of art is, you know, it's human experience. And that's so much a part of what I do, you know, on the inpatient psych unit. And I'm so aware of, you know, just stress and how stress gets us, and kind of we all have our dark side, our shadow side in a Jungian part. And I often frame it to myself as kind of that dark nugget within ourselves, and to know that that dark nugget has a place to be expressed, to be seen, to be heard, in a very supported space, that we can talk about that other people are sharing it, that we're not alone, we're not in isolation at all, really, unless we feel like we need a little bit more separation in space, which is something we might work through too, all of which can come up in what we see in image and art, or in what we see in the process of actually making art. How am I using my hands? How am I using the materials? You know, and then we can talk about, well, you know, what are some creative solutions to that? And one of the ideas that I've been working with for myself since I was even really practicing, since I was an undergrad, is that the art making is really a process of symbolic solutions for ourselves. And we get almost this psychological muscle memory, I feel, to then know that we can reenact this in our day-to-day living. And I think that that's the most beautiful thing about creativity. And that all of life is a creative act, right? From kind of, you know, more of this psycho-spiritual perspective, like that's kind of our sacral center and our throat center. And it's all creative. Every step that we take, every breath that we take almost, is really a creative act as we keep on unfolding. And through the art process, we want to keep that really flowing and see that we really can keep that flowing. And if there's one thing that I want for people to take away from a session, I think it's probably that. You know, insight is such a key thing. We can externalize what's going on. It's not as threatening putting it on a page or in a sculpture, and we can talk about it there, and we can build insight, that space around those stuck patterns, those contracted patterns we might have been talking about, and then go to the flip side of that coin of maybe the problem solving, that very focused problem solving. But really just staying open to our own flow, our own creativity. That flexibility is really one of the hallmarks of mental health. And that's what I'm working with. And that's, you know, within the mental health field where we might use art therapy, it's within education or early intervention, you know, within medical, when we're very stressed, when we're really hurting and really in crisis within that, through it all, you know, to really be in that flow. So now that I've kind of gone off on this little spiel, yeah, I will walk you through what maybe an art therapy session might look like. And, you know, whether it's an individual or a group, you know, you kind of come in to the space. Typically, if you have the time to do it, maybe do a little just warm up, maybe kind of like check in with people. Simply, you know, how are you? What's going on? See if there's any pressing issues that need to be addressed. Again, we're really encouraging individuals to just take a look at, well, where am I at? What am I feeling? What's going on? So I can care for those parts, you know, in the moment. And then we might go in, you know, with a directive. There's plenty of directives, you know, out there that we can do, almost maybe a little bit more like rote scripts, but I don't like to think about those as sort of these prescribed things. For me, when I work day to day on the unit, I might pick up what's going on the unit and what do we need to bring in and address and work through and find a symbolic way to do that.
And so that might be through different materials even. Some people might be sculpting. I find that intriguing that someone might grab, you know, let's sculpt an expression versus paint an expression. And so I would imagine that's all part of your process too.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's different modes and models for that, you know, in more of an open studio approach, that would be, you know, whatever it is that you need to do today, you do, and that there is something that needs to be worked through. You know, the old school theorists, Kramer might say, you know, you're sublimating something. The process itself for working it through is very important. Or, you know, maybe insight building, open studio, you wouldn't quite maybe do that processing after the verbal processing. Some directives, yeah, are like, here's the theme and go in it with whatever materials you feel like. Sometimes I might respond and say, you know, I think we really need to play with these materials. Sometimes I feel really drawn, for instance, to working with tape. Like, I really want for people to get the sense of what it feels like to glue something back together, to tape it up, to wrap it up almost like a splint, you know, on their arm, and that we need to experiment with what this feels like. And then, And then an individual, you know, then we're looking at the content, the actual image that's made, and maybe playing, if we're going to do some verbal processing after, which is how I try to run all of my groups, you know, what was this experience like? What's the image? And you hear the individual's verbal associations, you know, what were they thinking as they went into it? What did it feel like to make it? And sometimes if it's a little more new for an individual to be in this kind of frame of mind, I might provide some of my reflections as well, you know, associations, some of, you know, what I know a little bit about the symbologies within archetypes, not that it has to be the answer, but just as possibilities that might kind of land on what they're feeling, kind of like putting a finger on that and saying, oh, you know what, that might be it. And I wasn't really thinking about it before. For me, because I am always a little bit working through this Jungian archetypal lens, is I think hearing that this is part of other human experience, that this is, you know, how we're kind of wired, how we're blueprinted, that there's so many symbols around that connect us, because this is what it is to be human, and this is what it is to be me right now. That insight and that feeling contained and not feeling so alone, you know, is very huge for me. And it's something that I work with. It's actually what I wrote my thesis about for my grad school experience. And I think not feeling so alone, you know, in our experience is so frequently what it's about, and feeling supported, knowing that we can support ourselves through being supported in what we call the container of like the therapeutic session, whether it's individual or in the group, and then internalizing a piece of that, knowing that we can continue to do that on our own. And that's really what those symbolic solutions are about. So sometimes you actually...
I find that happens in meditation so much as well. And yes, what I love as a side point is I've heard you say so many words that we use during different steps of the practice, which is what's just so great, which shows that, in a sense, meditation is therapy, and that art therapy is actually just connection, and that the two are so similar. You mentioned softening to something, opening something. You keep mentioning flow. You mentioned insight. You mentioned even alignment. You haven't said that word, but I keep hearing it. So I just love the way that this always comes back around. But I wanted to mention that in meditation, often what we find without even expecting it, so many people think that meditation is about checking out, whereas meditation is actually about presence. And we find in sort of more refined states of meditation that we're actually connecting to a group field. And I imagine it's very similar to what you're saying about a group and connecting to that sort of co-creative vibe is very similar to connecting to a vibrational sort of meditative field, that we're all a part of this. You know, we're all experiencing similar qualities of the fabric that is the human experience. So anytime we can bring sort of discussion of that or share our experiences and see the similarities, it just helps us feel not so isolated and feel us connecting to something bigger.
I find it to be such a huge piece. And as you're saying it too, it's making me think of this other piece that I think is really important to bring in. And I'll preface by saying, you know, I was trained through an object relations lens, which is just, you know, a theoretical stance on this, objects being, you know, an individual person. and that we are formed through, you know, our relationship, what we learn from that. You know, maybe those schemas is a way that I often find myself phrasing it. And that relating is such a tremendous piece of human existence, and it's something that we can get really stuck with. We can get really constricted around. Often that's where we find we're not functioning, where that dysfunction is that maybe is bringing us in, you know, to treatment if it's you know, outpatient or private practice or something. And so we really want to be playing with how we are relating to others through the art making too. I may have lost my train of thought a little bit there, but that's really,
go ahead. What I'd like to hear is I also am curious if, since I keep personally relating it to meditation, you've said the word mindfulness a number of times. So is that an aspect of it? Because certainly once people start to share sort of their experience and that relationship to the other and to the experience itself starts to come forward, I'm wondering if you actually do within these sessions bring a mindfulness practice or sort of checking in into the therapy session.
I do. You know, I was thinking earlier as we were talking, you know, art making is a meditation. You know, it is mindful. We can stay so mindful. And just the process and how do we interact with the materials and what does that bring up for us? And we can process that through words, or we can just notice and play with that piece of staying present. You know, I will hear many individuals say, you know, I so enjoy being engaged in this because my mind isn't going to all these other places with anxiety or depression or, you know, those thoughts that just spiral out. We call them, you know, ruminations or perseverations, you know, kind of in that clinical speak, and that it's so uncomfortable. And we all, you know,
that takes will, you know, to keep us sort of stuck in that place where we're sort of actually willfully taking away from our innate creativity. So I can hear that simply being creative, that process, when people say, that actually felt good to be engaged, I would say that's because innately, when we reconnect with ourselves and our true sort of state of being, we are creative and we are in that flow. And to sort of experience mental dis-ease or to be contracted around perhaps a thought form or a thought about a diagnosis or something like that, it actually takes effort to stay in that place because it's unnatural. And that's why it feels so bad.
It feels bad, but it's so hard to, you know, get out of too. So that's what we're playing with. Cause it's, you know, I think about, and I'm not a neuroscientist, but like creating the new neural pathway they always talk about creating the habit takes 21 or 28 days. It's hard to forge through it and my image for it. And I work a lot. I talk a lot through images as part of the practice that I do. Is like, if you're in the woods, you're in a meadow and you see a deer path through that meadow that they've trodden so many times, and so they can make it through. But that's the path, and it's the only path. But we need to get somewhere else, or it's not working, or it's, you know, it's blocked somewhere down the line. So we need to make a new one, and it's going to take a while, and it's going to be tough to get through those really tall grasses to the point where now there's, you know, the dirt, and it's easy to get through again. And that's, to me, where the work really is for us individually, you know, in wellness, to stay mindful of that, to keep those open, to have a few paths available at once. And that's what creativity, you know, maybe really is. It's having, you know, those paths available to see that they're available.
Having options.
That they're options. But, you know, to cycle back to your question too, I feel very fortunate. I do hold, you know, meditation sessions under kind of the frame of relaxation techniques. I do them, you know, in medical sometimes. I do them in groups at least once a week. And the response is always very profound. And sometimes, you know, we use it with guided imagery. We use it with the body, progressive relaxation. We do it with just staying mindful of being with the breath, of being in flow. Again, we're opening up creativity. We're opening up an option. We call them coping skills, but really it's an option for getting through something that maybe I never knew existed before. And I talk a lot about, at the end of that, you know, notice what's happened within our group. And notice within this room, in this group, maybe it's 10 people who have come. We're going to take that out and we're going to change the way that the entire unit feels, because everything is an interaction. And I was touching on this a bit before and kind of lost my train of thought, but that it is all relation of some kind as well. And so what happens within me that I can be in control of, sort of, and this is a theme that I feel fortunate enough to constantly be reminded of by my supervisor. We're in control of what we do. And then, but we put that out, you know, that's different than in our space, in our shared space. And then because it is interrelational within this kind of object relations attachment lens, others will respond to that differently. And if we're working in that lens that, you know, some of our functionality is really how we're relating both to the self and to others, and it's all kind of commingling, that's, there's a lot of transformation available that there. And, you know, I find, of course, it's, you know, relationship that people really notice, you know, what is working or what isn't working in a lot. You know, there's, you know, somatic symptoms and all of that as well. But it's really an important piece of the pie for me anyway. And I find that it really resonates with a lot of people.
Well, having choices and being able to notice the different qualities certainly is important. And then within those different sort of qualities of our experience, being able to choose, I just wanted to bring it back before we get towards the end of the show to these three different states of mind. And that there's a time for us to be sort of detail oriented and looking at, I would imagine in a drawing or in our therapy session, what is this saying? How can I look at the very various different options that this is revealing to me? And then I'm sure there's time to zoom back, and that would be the expansive mind, and say, you know, it feels wonderful to be creative. It feels wonderful to explore. It feels wonderful to allow new options to come in. And then there's one other thing with the empty mind, as I'm thinking about you talking about various different art processes, that I just wanted to bring up. I know that so many friends of mine who have very intense lives, very intense professional lives, and have therapists on their own, have recommended that they do these mandala drawings.
Yes.
And a number of my friends have sort of brought in art into their everyday in this form. And they'll come visit Tim and I, and they'll sort of bring their coloring book and their pencils. And, you know, at first they sort of apologize for it, like, I know it looks like I'm in third grade, but I find it so relaxing. I find it so cathartic to just sit and basically choose colors, draw within the lines. And so there, to me, is the representative of that empty mind, where you're just allowing yourself to let go and not be engaged. So I'm wondering, you know, do you know, what would you say to somebody that's sort of feeling that sort of, oh, you know, maybe art would be good for me? Would you recommend that sort of coloring book? Or do you say, go out and draw an image and see what comes up, and what kind of archetype is that? Or I'm just wondering what you might give to the listeners who are at home that might think, well, maybe art would be fun for me.
Yeah, I think any of it. I think all of it. I think, you know, check in with your gut and see where that goes. I think asking ourselves questions is such a big piece of it. But yeah, mandalas are huge. Mandalas, you know, have been being used around the world for thousands of years. Carl Jung picked them up. He believes that they are the whole of the psyche. And so just a blank circle, that container, that form, and playing with lines and playing with shape and playing with color and how you color it and how you fill it, that alone, just the circle, can be so much. And you know, you can go into that in all these ways and explore the symbols, but you don't even have to. You know, it can just be your own associations. There are the mandalas. There's adult coloring books are like such a popular thing right now. And I think
they sure are.
And they're so, I was just in Michael's the other day looking through them, and they're so beautiful. And I think to select an image in a coloring book or in one of the mandala coloring books, and they exist too, to select an image that resonates with you that day and to decide what colors you're going to use. And are you going to use up all of these spaces that have been allotted for you with just one color? And where does that need to go? Or are you going to do it really, really tiny because the adult ones are so intricate? Are you going to really do it in tiny little pieces and make it many colors? And what intensity of coloring are you going to use? Is it going to be very light? Is it going to be very dark? These are all choices, and it's getting something out for us. And I think that's wonderful.
Like a great adventure. That's what's adventure. Making me smile, because all of those different options, you know, it sounds like we open the pages of the coloring book and who knows what's going to happen. And it's so much like life.
And, you know, I'm feeling aware of our time. So I'm going to just real quick say a few more is, you know, one is it's okay to feel like you're in third grade, because when we're in kindergarten, when we're in third grade, you know, we're in play. We're in play space. We're in times where it's good to play, and we want to be in play space because it means that we're experimenting with all of these possibilities. And that's something that I use a lot to frame sessions. And I invite any listener, anyone that I might talk about with it outside is, you know, experiment with being in play and being experimental. And, you know, kind of similarly, I think collage is a wonderful way to do this for someone who doesn't feel so great about necessarily putting the pen to paper. I think collage, you look for images, you resonate with them. That is saying something, it's reflecting something back for you on as to maybe where you are right now. And then you're actually playing with reforming them into something new. And that's what we're doing, all of this reconfiguring. And you can do, you know, big ones and just, this is where I'm at today, these are my images. Or you can really get detailed and take, you know, make a whole new face from all of these other bits of faces, a whole new body, a whole new landscape. And it's so interesting, and making decisions and cutting, pasting. The last one I would say is, and this is kind of an old school technique called, like, it's called a couple different things, but scribble line drawing or the squiggle technique, originally by someone named Winnicott, and where you just make a scribble. You can even do it blindly, and then you open your eyes and you see what's there and you look for your own image in it. And this, you know, different people use these in assessments or what have you. I think it's, we all, you know, you remember kind of scribbling in your notebooks growing up in school where your mind needed to go somewhere. And so you do that and see if you can associate another image in it and bring it out more in other colors and play with that. Or maybe it's just abstract, but it's such a beautiful way to explore what kind of maybe these more unconscious parts of us or these more repressed parts or these parts that just really want to come out and we haven't found the space to let them can really find space to voice, you know, and be heard, and play and explore and find new possibility.
I love it. Play and explore and have fun. It's what I always say meditation should be about, and certainly sounds like what making art is about. It's been, Stephanie, it's been great, and it's been so inspiring, and it makes me want to just go grab a paintbrush and a pen and start being creative.
Do it.
So it's been wonderful to talk to you, and I would just tell the listeners to look at Spiritfire Radio and .com and listen to the meditations of the week. LivingAwarenessMeditation.net is where you can find the meditations on state of mind this week. Stephanie, we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for joining us and all this intriguing conversation about art.
Thank you so much, Steve and Tim. It was truly my pleasure to be with you.
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. And join us next week when we talk about luminous perception, and we'll be with Tammy Duncan, who uses vibrational healing for autism. That's going to be a great show. I look so forward to it. So, again, thanks everyone for joining us on Spiritfire Radio, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spiritfire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spiritfire Radio. To learn more about Spiritfire, visit spiritfireradio.com.